I am grateful to be here after 8 years of struggling, because today I'm able to perceive stress as a challenge. And I think that anything can be done and it can be fun.
My name is Esprit Devora, host of the Women in Tech Show. The show means a lot to me. The reason why I wanted to create the Women in Tech Show is I wanted to create a positive piece of content, something where people can listen and say, if she can do it, so can I. I call it actionable empowerment. Every single episode, you'll hear the story of a fantastic woman in tech, from engineers to founders to investors to journalists to designers, all sorts of different females in tech who have thrived. I want to share their stories with you so that you can know what resources, mentors, and life situations they accessed in order to get to where they are today. Enjoy.
This episode is powered by the Swiss Entrepreneurship Program.
We are helping enhancing the startup ecosystems in 6 different countries, 4 of which are based in the Balkans. And you get to meet really amazing people here. And not just that you share your know-how, you also get to learn a lot from these people here. My name is Nina Nikolic, and I am the Manager of Entrepreneurs in Residence and Ecosystem Facilitator for the Swiss Entrepreneurship Program here in Macedonia.
Thank you so much for powering the Women in Tech podcast. Welcome back to the Women in Tech podcast, celebrating and empowering women in tech around the world. Yes, right now we are in Macedonia, and I'm so excited to be featuring such innovative women in tech. Who would think in the Balkan region you would find some of the most wonderful people in the world? Hello, Nina.
Ooh, hello.
So, okay, you are just making things happen left and right, which is incredible. Go ahead and introduce yourself. Tell us a little bit about who you are and what you do.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on your podcast.
Yeah.
And thank you for being in Macedonia and Skopje.
Yeah, of course.
Hi, everyone. I'm Nina Angelovska from Macedonia, and I am a co-founder of the first deal platform on the Macedonian market and at the same time the leading e-commerce company. It's called Grouper. We launched in 2011, and we are known on the market as the game changer in e-commerce in Macedonia.
And you have 200,000 partners?
Users.
And how many vendors do you have?
Over 3,500 merchants that we work with, domestic as well as international companies and hotels and all sorts of companies that we work with to provide the best deals for travel services and products to the end customers. And what I do besides running the company, which is not a small thing, but I am also running in the, let's say, in my desire to change the e-commerce market in the country, I'm also running the Macedonian E-commerce Association, which is trying to, you know, to create inclusive e-commerce for everybody and eliminate the barriers on the market. So what I've been doing with Grouper for 8 years, I started going like more on a high level, institutional level, representing everybody in the industry.
You know what's so interesting that I discovered about the Balkan region, and tell me if this was true about Macedonia too, is that merchant, like payment processing is really difficult here. Typically everything is cash. And utilizing credit cards is not the same as it is in America, where it's easy and everybody does it. Is that accurate for Macedonia too?
Yeah, you know, we do a lot of statistics. And it's, let's say, like today, in 2017, actually, the latest data is that only 3% of the total payment with payment cards is for payments in e-commerce, while 29% are on POS terminals, you know, for purchasing in retail and shops. And 68% are for withdrawing money from the ATMs.
Yeah.
So despite we have more payment cards than we have citizens, 1.8 million payment cards are in circulation. People don't use their payment cards. But the thing is that the situation is changing. And we actually did a lot in terms of changing the market, because Grouper has 200,000 users.
Yeah.
And if we see the country, Macedonia is small, you know, 2 million citizens, we can say that every 10th person that you'll meet has a Grouper account.
And isn't that actually great news for you? Because the more people that use the payment cards, the bigger your company will get. Or how do people pay for the daily deals?
We do not offer payment in cash, but we offer only, let's say, if you're looking at the long run.
Yeah.
When we started, we decided that we are going to only allow payment by payment cards.
Yeah.
So there were a lot of people that would ask, can I pay cash or can I come to your offices and buy a coupon?
Yeah.
Or can I pay directly at the merchant?
Yeah.
You know, just to give you a bit of a picture of how the market was and it still is. And there's another obstacle when we speak about payment cards and solutions. Yeah. You know, the mentality and the IT literacy is pretty low still. Macedonia has a very low overall digital skills.
Right.
So we were basically educating the market in order to create the market when we launched, because we were going to have 3 phone calls lines and we were going to answer millions of emails and phone calls like CVC code is the code on the back of your card or do you have an email or let me open up an account for you or whatever it would take for us to create a user, you know, and to make them buy and keep them, of course, after that.
For all the Americans listening in the Balkan region, like things like that are very normal for us, such as webinars, is new here. People don't really care for them yet as a culture. Credit card usage is, you know, new here. It's not like the States where it's just normal and everybody uses it. It's extremely different. So it's a really big deal that you're building this company that's all based on e-commerce. And let's get into your story. So when did you first fall in love with technology? Like, were you a little girl or when did that happen?
I can say I fell in love with e-commerce more while I was studying. So I graduated in the Faculty of Economics on e-business.
Yeah.
And it was my first touch with e-commerce was just when I started studying. When I was like, what was that, 2006?
Yeah.
And then I graduated as a student of the year, and I was very competitive when I was studying. You know, my mother would tell me that you have to be best at whatever you decide to do. So I really had that competitive spirit, and I won at the most innovative business plan competition when I was 21 years old. And I got a huge check, which was actually a grant to start my business.
Was this Grouper or a different business? Okay.
Yeah, and that's actually how I dived into the business world, and Grouper was my first official employment, though I did a lot of internships while I was studying, you know, but this was like the first thing that I decided to dive into the business world and start my own entrepreneurial journey. And then I also decided to continue and pursue to give back to the science.
Yeah.
And I did my master's thesis while I was studying, and I also did my PhD just...
That's crazy.
2 years ago, it's all in e-commerce. So I think you can see my love and passion
for e-commerce. How many employees do you have?
20.
When you first started, I mean, anybody that is straight out of college, we all don't know anything. And so for you to have enough belief in yourself that despite that I'm new to the world, that I haven't had a job before, I can do this. What like brought you to that mindset? Was it your upbringing? Was it your parents? Like, I think not only in the States, but especially here, that's very rare and unique that you had so much belief in self. So I find that inspiring. What led to that?
First of all, thank you. And second of all, the question is very well put, because I think that I owe everything what I am today or what I've achieved to my parents, to those genes, first of all.
Yeah.
And then to the upbringing of how they raised me, especially I consider my mother to be my mentor, my life mentor. And she gave me a lot of support, but not just support, but, you know, she's very real and open. And she's the one that's been providing me with the real feedback all the time.
Yeah.
And I think that was something that was crucial. But then when you start, you know, there is someone that's going to give you the ground and like set you to start the race.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
then
yeah.
It's on you.
Yeah.
So I think that I didn't have any, let's put it this way, lack of self-confidence.
Right.
A lot of people have asked me if I felt like something because I was a woman, you
right,
know?
Right.
But I think that it was more
and still are.
Very, yeah.
Sometimes I say that too.
yeah. I was referring to when I started, because, you know, I was 21 years old, and it was always the question, so how did they perceive you? You were
right.
Such a, when you're a woman, did you feel like any discrimination?
Yeah.
And I was like, you know, I was 21 years old when I started. I was 22 when we launched the business. And I never started to think about that. I was more worried maybe that I'm too young, if they're going to think of me that I'm a serious in business.
But you didn't think that of yourself.
No, not at all. Never.
You were worried other people would think it of you, but you didn't think it of yourself. It's so different than for me. I look back, and one of my biggest failures was, and the biggest reason why I do everything I do today, is because when I was 18, I didn't believe I was enough to bring my company to where I wanted to bring it. And now looking back, and so I would hire all these fancy consultants with like peppered white hair, thinking, oh, they're all smarter than me. And looking back, I've learned that it's not as important to be competent, it's more important to be committed and passionate. Like, the person who has the perseverance will win over competency. Do you agree?
Yes. I actually wrote one article that it's called my model, that I called it the Entrepreneurship Mix 8 Ps.
Yeah.
And one of those is passion and perseverance, the two things that you mentioned.
Amazing, yeah.
So yeah, I would definitely agree that I think that passion is the core, actually. It's the driving force that keeps you going, is the what gives you the moving mountain attitudes that you feel that you can do anything.
Yeah.
And I think that it's very important. The attitude is also very important, but it's also important to be, you know, a fast learner and to be able to absorb knowledge, because that's the only way that we can overcome the obstacles, because passion is what will give you the strength to keep going and to keep learning and to be a hard worker. But at the end of the day, we also have to, you know, have to learn a lot on the go. And we should use our potential, which is one of my other piece in the 8 piece model, you know, because not everybody's using their potential. I say this a lot to young people, because research shows that we don't use the potential that we have. Like the average person potential is far greater than its usage.
Yeah.
So I think that we should be all aware that we should use our potential and invest in ourselves, you know, not spare our mind or brain from things, and start by self-discipline, and you know, stop scrolling and wasting our our hours on things that don't add value to us, because who we are going to be 5 years from now, it's built and defined today by what we do. So I think that today meeting you is great, because actually I'm learning something new, and you are also very inspiring, and you're visiting here. And I think that everybody should be aware that we should really try to invest in our potential and make the most out of ourselves.
And we'll include your post in the show notes as well. So we'll make sure our awesome teammate Carl puts that in the show notes so everybody can read. Is it on Medium, or is it on, where can we find it?
No, it's on Forbes. I started contributing
on Forbes cool
recently, and
awesome.
Yeah, that's one of my first articles. It's not the first one, I think, but it might be the first one, actually.
We'll find it. We'll find it, and we'll put it in the show notes. It's just so everybody has an idea. It's about 8 something at night. It's probably closer to 9 o'clock right now. It's a Saturday. I'm sure that we're both exhausted. Nina runs a huge company. I'm just tired out of my mind. And both of us are showing up for one another because we both believe in what we do. And that's what it takes. Like, it doesn't, it's not that complicated. Sometimes you just have to show up.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes that's the hardest part, just showing up. And so, okay.
You know, you should stop we should stop thinking or feeling.
Right.
It's like, I hear a lot of people say, like, I don't feel like doing this. I don't feel like.
Yeah.
But do you think that anybody wants to do the dishes or the laundry? Have you heard someone say, like, oh, I really feel like I want to do the laundry?
Yeah.
But those are, there are some things in life that we just should do without much thinking, you know, because sometimes feeling is making us.
Completely. And something that we were talking about before we started recording was being really connected to our purpose. And some days you may want to not do something because for whatever reason. The reason I get out of bed, and I feel like it's the same reason you probably get out of bed, is because we feel really connected to our purpose. So whether we're tired, or maybe we wanted to eat but we haven't eaten yet, or maybe we wanted to go on the day at the beach and we didn't, we're so connected to our purpose, it's okay to sacrifice to an extent. I mean, obviously, we all want to live a healthy life and whatever balance means to an entrepreneur, but being connected to your purpose, I think, is the primary. How would you describe purpose to someone that maybe is listening right now that's like, okay, that sounds great, but I don't know what that means to me? How would someone find or know their purpose? Do you have any suggestions? I've never asked that question before, but I think it's an interest. I even need to think about it. Yeah.
I think that, you know, it's like the definition of success, that is something that everybody can define its own, has his own definition of what success is. I think it's similar for purpose, you know, because it's, again, it would be like the same thing that will make you wake up in the morning, or make you sacrifice some coffees, or make you sacrifice some sleep hours.
Yeah,
I think that you will be better off if you know your purpose. And I think that having purpose also means that you will be willing to choose the means that you use to get there, to your purpose, you know? Because I think that it's very important that, I want to go to bed and feel good about myself and feel good about what I do.
Yeah.
And I think that it's what purpose gives you, actually, you know, after a long, hardworking day. To be able to say this was a long and hard day, and I had a lot of struggles.
Yeah.
But in the end of the day, I'm grateful because I know why I'm doing this.
Yeah.
It's the famous why of Simon Sinek.
Oh, I love Simon Sinek. Yes, watch his talks on YouTube if you haven't. And I think one last thing I'll say before I move on to the next question about overcoming struggles is we all choose our life. You didn't have to be an entrepreneur. You didn't have to start building a company to manage 20 people and more to come. You didn't have to revolutionize e-commerce in Macedonia. You made a choice, and you continue to make a choice every day. So one thing I'd like to share with everyone is, no matter where you are in your life right now, whether you're living the life that you want or the life that maybe you don't want, we're all choosing. If you're tired, if you're energized, whatever you are, all of us are choosing all day long, every minute of every day. And so just kind of like take a second and ask yourself, are you okay with your choices? Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of choices, the choices that you made, they're hard because I've been there too. Like, female founder, it's not easy. It's very glamorized in the media today. I don't understand why. you've experienced a lot of obstacles, and it's not specific to you. Every single entrepreneur on the planet experiences a lot of obstacles. What's a huge obstacle that you've successfully overcome, and how did you overcome it?
I think that overcome almost all of the challenges and obstacles that were on the way, you know, but now the modern world of an obstacle is a challenge. We don't say problems, we say challenges.
Yeah.
But I think that being able to see obstacles and problems like a challenge, actually, like challenges, is crucial, because that's how you set your mind that this is something that has to be overcome. This is a rock standing on my way, and I'm gonna overcome this this obstacle, because after that we feel more knowledgeable, stronger, and better about ourselves, more confident, you know. And I really had to overcome, like, the road was bumpy. There were a lot of rocks on the ways,
right?
Light ones, heavy ones, all sorts of rocks.
Yeah.
But if I have to choose, like, I don't know, one that would be like the heaviest one, I would say that maybe finding people is one of the
key challenges. Talent, finding talent. Oh,
finding
my gosh, I know.
Skilled work. Yeah. You know, and I've met a lot of entrepreneurs. I travel a lot. I go to and speak to various conferences, and I speak to entrepreneurs, and I thought that this is a problem that we have on the Balkans, but it's a problem everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not just that we have here. But on the way, when I speak about the challenges and the rocks, you know, when you gave the audience like a bit of a picture of where we are and that we don't use that much payment cards. We've been evolving. You know, we are an emerging market and things are changing.
Yeah.
But you can imagine how the situation was for us in terms of administrative burdens that we had to face.
Right.
You know, like lack of regulation. We had a lot of inspections when we started working. Yeah. And as I mentioned, the market was not educated. Also, the merchants, you know, we work with 3,000 companies and we had to, you know, provide knowledge about marketing, about going online, about what the trends are. So there were a lot of obstacles. And I would say that I am grateful to be here after 8 years of struggling, because today I'm able to perceive stress as a challenge.
Really?
And I think that anything can be done and it can be fun. You know, we were organizing a huge conference with the e-commerce association just a few days ago, and 2 days before the conference, the host of the conference just canceled, one of the speakers canceled, and I was like smiling when they told me, and I was like, this is going to be a rough day, but I'm smiling and I'm going to do my morning run and I'm going to figure out how I'm going to handle this.
You still did your morning run?
Yeah.
Interesting.
And I was like, life is good, things happen, and that's what will make me stronger, because I'm going to find a solution to any problem that will arise, and I won't, you know, complain or be anxious or nervous about it, because that's experience, I think.
Yeah. Do you ever, two things. One, when you feel really tired, how do you overcome that? And then also, do you ever feel like the kind of business that you have is I know this is a bit of a negative word, but it's overwhelming. It's a lot of policies and regulations, and it's a lot. It's very technical, and it's a lot of the unexpected and politics and all this. Is it ever daunting? Like, do you ever feel like, how am I ever going to figure this out? I feel like I would feel like that.
Yeah. First of all, how I overcome what I do when I'm exhausted, I sleep.
Oh.
I think that
I forgot. Thanks for the memo. I didn't know that's what I was supposed to do.
I think that that's my like, if I'm too tired, just go to sleep, and tomorrow is going to be a new day.
Yeah.
And I try not to sacrifice good hours of sleep.
Yeah.
The business is, you know, you have to be like all the time ready for a change, and you have to be like, if Facebook changes something in their algorithm, you feel like your ROI is gonna drop if you don't do anything about it right away. So yeah, constant change and following the trends and changes is very important. And in terms of the laws and regulations, you know, I've been also part of some associations like the European E-commerce Association, and then I've been working on some projects international about e-commerce laws and regulations, and being first on the market and being the one that's gonna change and set the rules took a lot of reading of topics that I was not familiar with. You know, I didn't know anything about regulations or laws, but I just had to know, because if I'm going to grow my business, I have to know what the rules are and what it needs to be done to be better at the regulations and laws. I'm speaking about I managed the lobby, and we actually did some changes in the regulations in the past years. And now we are also seeing some positive openness and transparency from the government to accept our proposals, to listen to the voice of the real and the business sector, you know, so that's good. And I think that at the end of the day, as you mentioned, when you have, like, you know, the passion and the purpose, when you see that you have made an impact and that you managed to do a change, that's what, like, gives you motivation to be like, okay, this is done, and whatever comes on the way, we'll be able to, at least it's our obligation to try.
One of the recent entrepreneurs I met that I found just so inspiring for his perseverance, and I also a little ludicrous. I can't believe how much perseverance he has, was the founder of the Serbian company Cargo. You know Cargo?
Yeah, I heard about it.
So many politics. Oh my gosh. It's just constant challenges. And I'm like, how does this guy survive all these challenges? And he does it all with a smile on his face. He's like, we're just going to continuously figure it out. I don't know. I really, you know, my business is... It doesn't have those kinds of challenges with the regulations and politics and all. I just think that that's a whole nother level. And, you know, kudos to you to be able to take it on. And I think everybody listening right now, hearing that you seriously, you didn't know certain areas and you went out and you educated yourself. And that just shows, like, again, it's a choice. It's just a choice. You're a choice away. Do you ever rely on your board of directors for mentorship and guidance and things of that nature? Or who do you rely for mentorship?
Well, this is a private company, and we are three co-founders. I'm the CEO and running the company, so we don't have another body that we can rely on. So it's us to make the decisions, and we like to include all our members when we make certain decisions where everybody can contribute. Because you know when you're part of the decision, you are more like willing to get on board when we implement the decision.
Right.
And we actually, I do have a lot of contacts. I do have a lot of friends, not only, of course, from Macedonia and the region, but from the globe. But I think that it's very difficult to ask for someone for advice from, let's say, from US for our market, because, you know, we know how the market breeds. And it's so different when you're so local and when you know the mentality. But I think that advice is very welcome. So it's like whose advice you're gonna get and whose advice you're gonna apply.
Right.
It's again the choice of what we decide who to ask and whose advice we're gonna apply. So I think that when we make crucial decisions, we vote.
Yeah.
You know, and there's three of us, and my two co-founders are male, so I somehow managed to lobby better one of them, and that's how I get the voice.
Very funny. How did you find your co-founders? How did you find one another?
Yeah, this is a funny story, because when I was studying, you know, I mentioned that I would go to different companies and do different internships during the years, and I think I was second or third year of my studies, and I felt like I want to try. I followed some photography courses, and I was also just started writing or something, and I applied for to a few companies for internships, and the one company that I applied was a portal for nightlife and doing some photos and interviews and stuff.
Right.
And this company was run by my two co-founders today.
Yeah.
And that's how we met. I was during the summer. I was doing some work for 1 month for their website, and then when I got the award, because we are talking about a U.S. market, you know, the Silicon Valley version of my check would be like 300,000 euros or dollars, but it was 300,000 dinars, which was 5,000 euros, just to give a bit of a picture what was the investment that I started the business with. So it was 5,000 euros. We couldn't afford to pay HR, marketing, and finance people, but we had to do it all ourselves.
Our fellow Americans out there, that's under $10,000. It's probably like $7,000-ish. Yeah. It's 67. Very little. It's very little and a lot of perseverance.
Yeah, that's... when people ask me, but how did you do it with US with $6,000? And I'm like, you know, the word growth hacking and
growth hacking
did not exist back then, but that's what we did.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's how I met my two co-founders, and then I went with the check and I said, I think we should do this together. Are you in? Do you want to do this together? And they were happy to get on board, so that's how we started, the three of us
together.
So
cool. What was your favorite piece of advice, or one of them in your life that you've got something that you could share with all of us? Maybe something your mom said.
Oh, if it's something that my mom said, and then I added something to that thing, it would be she would always tell me that knowledge is the only thing that nobody can take away from you. You know, it's a resource you can have houses and cars and buildings. And all that can be gone one day because, you know, the world is not always right us. But what you have in here, so what you have in your brain, in your mind, is that's something that, no one can take away from you. And that if you have that, then you will be able to build new things, new amazing things, and you won't be afraid that it's something that someone can take it away from you. And today, after 8 years of extensive experience, I very much respect that. And I add to that quote that passion is also something that no one can take away from you. And it's something that no one can copy. Like, you know, a lot of companies and people can copy your idea or your business. But what no one can copy is what you have in your heart about your company. So it's, I think, the passion that no one can take away from you and that gives some magical spirit to what we do.
I completely agree. I can't tell you over the years, my company, We Are LA Tech, how many people have come and gone out of Los Angeles saying that they're going to build the community. I'm like, okay, I'll support you in doing that because I know what hard work it takes. Yes. And I'm like, you know, I find a lot of times that just women specifically, we're a little bit more humble. We don't boast about our milestones and awards. We stay more quiet about it. Have there been any awards or celebrations that you've had in your career? I know that in mine, I have not stopped to like acknowledge them. So I'd love to hear what yours are.
So the biggest recognition I got so far was being named Forbes 30 and 30 honoree, or as Forbes people would say, the list maker. And it was the biggest recognition that I got so far. And it was the day when I stopped and realized what I've done. You know, it's really a big, it gives you motivation to keep going what you've been doing for like 7 years. And apart than that, I've got a lot of recognitions in the country as well. But, you know, this was the biggest one. And before being named Forbes, I got another recognition from a German magazine called The 100, which was naming me in the list of 100 female founders from Europe. So all these big recognitions mean a lot when you are struggling and you're working in an emerging market and you're like, how did they find me? But it's an amazing feeling.
And what is your favorite app or website or tech tool, hardware, anything?
I have a lot, actually, that I use. But, like, my favorite one, of course, is our Grouper app.
You're allowed.
No, I'm just, I recently, I love this iWatch that I recently bought, the new one.
Yeah, the
Although I love technology and I love everything that it does.
Yeah.
But I'm like, I feel like the only thing that, the only place that I didn't have any technology stick to me was when I was sleeping. And now we have this thing to tell you how many hours of sleep you got and stuff. And I'm like, I know when I go to bed, I know when I get up, I don't have to have my watch in my sleep. But like, let me see if what's on my homepage, because, you know, a lot of course, it's like tools for management and calendars and stuff. And one of the apps that would be like social is Instagram.
Yeah.
Is currently that I'm using the most, let's say, and of course LinkedIn for professional use. But here's a fun fact for all Americans, is that we use on the Balkans Viber over WhatsApp. So we do also business on Viber. Everybody's texting everybody. You know, a lot of small businesses are not even using their email. They prefer to type. And so now Facebook Messenger and Viber becomes the business tools.
Crazy.
So it's very...
Wait, explain it to me. So I installed Viber here because everybody is using Viber.
Yeah.
I find that WhatsApp works better than Viber, but I use both now.
I would agree with you.
Now, I don't understand why people here want to use Viber. Can you tell me? I mean,
yeah,
other
I
than the stickers.
I can tell you an interesting story about it, actually.
Yeah.
You know, they say that you're standing on the railway street station and you're waiting for the train to come.
Yeah.
And, you know, the first train that comes is WhatsApp, and it costs $1 to get in the train and go.
Yeah.
But while you're waiting to get on that train, some people get on it.
Yeah.
And another train is coming, which can take you to the same direction, but it's just for free.
Yeah.
So you go to the train that's for free. That was Balkans did, because you know WhatsApp, when it launched, it was a paid app.
Oh, it was?
It was. And here the culture is that people don't buy that much apps, especially in this region. So I think that's the main reason, because when you start and you're hooked on something.
Oh, because it's free now, right? Yes. I don't think I paid for WhatsApp.
I know that I paid for it.
You did?
Yeah, I did. Because my cousin from Sweden had the app and he was like, I'm going to call you WhatsApp.
Oh.
And that's all about it. But after that, I know that they were free, but I think that
was it.
That was the catch.
It reminds me of Friendster and MySpace, not with the free, but with catching something at the right moment. Friendster had a problem with their servers, and their servers were overloaded and you couldn't get in the site. That same week is when MySpace pierced the social media industry, social networking industry, and made themselves popular and took advantage of that moment when Friendster servers were overwhelmed. Yeah. It's like timing, you know? Like if WhatsApp didn't allow that space, maybe Viber would have never been able to pierce their way in.
Yeah, it's so crazy. It takes so little to make a big change.
So crazy. Now I'm thinking of all the tech companies and timing. Thank you so much for hanging out with the Women in Tech podcast. I ask everybody, is this your first podcast? Now you do interviews all the time. Is this your first podcast?
It's not my first one.
I didn't think so, yeah.
But I think it's the favorite. It's the first one in English.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah. That counts. No, but the reason why I ask is actually I just find it so interesting and exciting that I'd say, without exaggerating, probably over 97, 98% of everybody interviewed has never been interviewed on a podcast before. And I feel like it's such a privilege that I get to expose people more to the world and be that stepping stone to be on more stuff or for other people to hear them and invite them. Now, I know you're in the media a lot, so like I was like, no, she's probably been on, but I didn't want to make assumptions, you know? And
but
so,
it's
yeah.
the first one, as
in
I said,
English.
In English.
Yeah, that's really cool.
And the first one for the U.S.
What?
Yeah.
Okay, that's crazy. That's so cool. Well, thank you so much for investing your time. It's definitely an investment. Like I said, it's Saturday night, and we're inside an office. Both tired, probably. I'm not going to speak for you. I know I'm tired. You seem really vibrant. I'm like, oh my gosh. And I'm just feeling really lucky that we got to spend our night this way. So thank you.
And thank you so much for being here.
Oh, of course. Where can people find out more about Grouper?
On grouper.mk and on all social media channels like Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, YouTube, anywhere that you can find us, Grouper or me.
And that's Grouper.
Yes, that's right.
And where can people connect with you further? Are you on any social media or LinkedIn?
Yeah, all social media and LinkedIn.
Can you spell your name for everybody if they want to look you up online?
Sure, it's Nana Angelovska. So it's Nina Angelovska, and it's the same on all social media, the username.
Remember, you could connect with more extraordinary women in tech on the Women in Tech Facebook group at womenintechvip.com. That's womenintechvip.com. And you could say hello on social at Women in Tech Show on Instagram, on Twitter, on Facebook. I will talk to you guys, see you guys, hear you guys in the next episode. Bye.
This is Nina Angelovska from Macedonia, CEO and co-founder of Grouper.mk, the leading e-commerce sale platform. We are providing the best deals to the end users by working with over 3,000 merchants from domestic ones and also from abroad. And you're listening to Women in Tech podcast.
It would not be possible to celebrate all these women in tech who have been extraordinary here in the Balkan region without the Swiss Entrepreneurship Program. And I'd like to welcome Nina to talk a little bit about what Swiss EP is. Thank you so much for powering the Women in Tech podcast.
We are helping enhancing the startup ecosystems in 6 different countries, 4 of which are based in the Balkans. We are working in emerging markets and supporting young entrepreneurs, but also the supporting organizations like Incubator Accelerator. We started a program called Entrepreneurs in Residence, which means that experts can come and work with our startup founders here and startup teams and supporting organizations We cover accommodation and travel expenses, and you get to meet really amazing people here. And not just that you share your know-how, you also get to learn a lot from these people here. My name is Nina Nikolic, and I am the Manager of Entrepreneurs in Residence and Ecosystem Facilitator for the Swiss Entrepreneurship Program here in Macedonia.
To find out more about the Swiss Entrepreneurship Program, go to entrepreneur-in-residence.net. That's entrepreneur-in-residence.net.